Well, I don't know about you all, but I'm thankful death is defeated. That's thank the Lord for it. I don't know any other way of saying it, but I think of the scripture. It says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life." And how true that is, that the devil tries in every way he can to get us to think carnally, to think selfishly. Traps, ensnarements, in getting to thinking, not just selfishly, but thinking of, basically sinful ways, sinful things. And so many things in this world, there's so much to offer for us to think on all those things. The things that are, there's a scripture. Let's turn and read it real quick. In Philippians 4 and 8, it reminds us of things that we are to think on and cautions us. Let's read that. Philippians 4 and 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." But you take the exact opposite and contrast and all these things we mentioned about what's true and honest and pure and lovely and of good report and virtue. How many things does the devil offer us? I'm talking saved and sanctified people, not just those in sin, but us that have been saved. That the devil offers all these things. Well, you could think upon these things. Okay? As we were talking earlier about our title being clear, the devil would love for us to dwell upon all of our past failures. Now, is that a good report? No, it's not. Those are washed under the blood if we've asked the Lord for forgiveness. And so the devil would love for us to think upon those things that are in our past or someone else's past and just dwell on all the negative, the sinful things. There's actually folks I've known of that got saved, and maybe they were raising their own children, and there was things that they weren't able to do as a child growing up because their parents kept them from that. And in turn, they were thankful for that. But then as they became a parent of their own, they became a parent and had children of their own, there were some of those little secret hidden things in their heart that maybe they weren't able to enjoy some of sin. Just little things, nothing major, you know. But they would in turn encourage their children to get involved in those things so that they could then in turn live that life through their children. You see what I'm saying? And eventually, they fell out with the Lord. They lost their souls over it. And I'm thinking, how sad. It didn't have to be that way. But the devil started with just little seed thoughts, thinking of a little bit of pleasures of sin. Maybe something that's maybe not just outright sin, but things that can lead towards sin, to sin. So anyway, was thinking of how there's a scripture I want to read here in Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. It's a familiar one. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" You know, that's quite a thought. How many times, and we'll read some scriptures, a story, just one of many stories in the Bible, about folks that were deceitful. But it started out, if you could say, just thinking on little things that maybe they just wanted their way in just this one little aspect, or they wanted their way in just this little aspect, And that's all they could think about is themselves or whatever the case. But over time, the devil added to that and started thinking on all these other things. And, oh, well, I would like that too. Or what about this over here? What about that over there? It's not, you know. And they just kept branching out in their mind. And then before long, their desires started wrapping around those things. You know, I would like to have that. I've thought about it long enough then now I think I wanted to obtain that, okay? But it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now I want to read a story here, and it actually relates to the resurrection story. In Matthew, the 27th chapter, here you have Jesus died on the cross, and they put Jesus in the tomb. But, you know what's interesting? Is the devil ever satisfied? Have you ever found the devil satisfied with what he has? You see, he's desperately wicked too, okay? And he's the father of lies. So he's going to teach everyone else how to be deceitful, okay? Because he's deceived and he's going to deceive everyone he can. But here we have in the 27th chapter of Matthew, you would think it would be enough that the devil got his way and Jesus was killed on the cross. You'd think the devil would just stop right there. But did he? Oh no. He wanted more. And here we have in this story, the 27th chapter of Matthew. This was Saturday, or the day after Jesus was crucified. And it says, verse 62, "Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will arise again." Notice who they're calling a deceiver here. "Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, you have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch." Isn't that something? How the devil, he got Jesus killed. You know, all the Pharisees, Sadducees, all the Jews that were against Jesus and his teachings, they got him killed. But was that good enough? No. There was something else brewing deep within that we could say it this way. Sin's never going to be tamed. Sin's tamed in the sense that it's never going to get enough, okay? Until it's rooted out, all right? But here it is. These Jews, they still had something within. And notice who, what did they call Jesus? A deceiver. Yes. Now, isn't that interesting? But yet, who is really doing the deceiving? They are. And this is just, the story's just getting started. It gets better from here. They're thinking, oh, we got a plan here, you know. They, you know what it tells me? That deep down, they still had a little inkling of fear that what Jesus said was really going to come true. Otherwise, why are they doing this? But they're saying, okay, just in case something really does happen, we're going to send a bunch of soldiers down there. We're going to make sure nothing's going to happen. Well, I mean, we're talking about 11 disciples that were not trained warriors, okay? And who else were they going to get? I mean, we're talking several Roman soldiers there that are trained, all right? And at nighttime, and there wasn't much time here for this to take place, but yet they're saying, no, we want to make sure. So, you all know the story. Jesus confounded the wise. Oh, these men thought they were wise. They thought they had a plan, that they're going to make sure no one's going to take this man. And but as we know the story, the angel came, rolled the stone away. Jesus resurrected himself and came out of the grave. And as the story goes on, we'll pick up here in the 28th chapter. Let's see, verse 11. "Now when they were gone, behold, some of the watch came into the city and shewed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. You see, all these soldiers, they got showed up. They realized that they were coming against a power greater than the Roman army, greater than the generals, the emperors, everyone in charge. That this is God Himself, okay, sending this angel, and Jesus had the power of the resurrection here. There's nothing they could do against it. So they said, and when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. Okay. Saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So, quite an interesting story. I mean, seriously, do you think disciples, I mean, the folks that believe this story, they weren't very thorough in their research and in their thinking, just quite frankly. Because how could these disciples come and steal? And furthermore, all these Roman soldiers that they all fell asleep at once? That not at least one? Because, and to realize that they have the death penalty if they're caught sleeping on the job on their watch? And they all fall asleep at once? Really? There's loopholes in this story all the way through. And all the way through, this is this common thread of sin, deceit, selfishness. Now let me read you some words that I have, that the Thompson Chain Bible has written on the references here on the sides. On this first part of the story, let me read you some of what's written to the side here. Blasphemy against Christ. Divinity challenged. Unbelief. Fighting against God. Evil devices. Slander. Evil thoughts. Uncharitableness. False accusations. All these things from their own deception. They're deceived. And it started from just these little seed thoughts from way back, maybe. And this is something that is such a challenge to all of us, no doubt. But how many times are we told stories, maybe that our parents told us, maybe an aunt and uncle or grandparents or our friends or whoever, people on the job, that they tell us a story about so-and-so, okay? And because we have confidence in that person that told us that story, we believe them, all right? That's fair. But you know what I've found in my lifetime? I've not lived as long as some in here, but I've found that sometimes it doesn't hurt to double check to see if that story is true. And maybe that story was told to me not in a malicious manner. They're not trying to hurt or hinder someone else, but it could eventually. And so I found, you know, sometimes it pays to check the source and then the resources that source. You know what I'm saying? Do a background check. I mean, especially if it's a serious matter, don't just start, you know, well, that's what they said, so I'm going to pass it on, you know. Well, I believe the source, you know, they're a worthy source. But here's the thing. It says here, if you read, it says, so they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Now, there's many speculations about how many years later Matthew wrote the gospel here. Some speculate 8, 10, 18, 30 years. So we'll just pick 20 years for the sake of conversation here. But say for 20 years, these stories about Jesus really not resurrecting from the dead, but the disciples stole him, okay, had been spread. And people were believing it. And I'm thinking, all you have to do is look at the evidence. If they took Jesus, then what would have they done with him? And what was the point in that anyway? But the fact of the matter was, Jesus was resurrected, all right, was alive again. And through all those that we heard this morning about Stephen and others, and after the day of Pentecost, where there were lives being transformed, families being transformed, where some, they weren't lying and cheating anymore. They weren't telling lies. They weren't doing all these other sinful things that some of the rest of the Jews were doing, okay? That, wow, something's different about them. And so all these changes started taking place. Okay, to me, that's proof that, yes, Jesus was resurrected. But the Jews, a lot of the Jews didn't want to believe that. You see what I'm saying? So they're hearing what their parents or what their teachers or whoever, what they're telling them, all right, believing those lies, the deceit, and they're actually building upon those lies and those deceits, and ultimately to their own destruction. But here is the awesome thing. God has given us all, we're all free moral agents. We all have the choice to decide what do we want to believe. What do we want? And it's not so much we can say, what do we want to hear? You realize sometimes we can decide what we want to hear.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying there?
Yes.
We could hear the same exact words for someone, but we can interpret them differently, depending on the condition of our heart. You see, that's what was happening with the Jews. They maybe heard the disciples and maybe heard some messages that Peter preached. That no, Jesus is alive. We didn't steal him. You know, he resurrected himself and he's on the right hand of, and all these things. They can hear all those same stories, but they're choosing to hear in their own heart and believe the lies and the deceit. And why was that? Why would they choose to believe that? You ever thought about that? Well, I want to tell you something. Today, we can look around us and ask all those that are still living in sin now, saying, why do they want to continue in that? And those that have believed a lie and they've deceived themselves and they're following on and maybe these cults and all these other movements and things that, like, don't they see? But here's what we're fighting against. We're fighting against someone, the devil, okay? That he is so desperate at any cost, all right, to deceive, what's the scripture say, even the very elect. You realize that's happened? It's even happened in my lifetime. I remember hearing stories of it happened to maybe other ministers years ago, you know, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, and maybe read some of their writings and some of their songs and oh, rejoice in what they wrote them and all. But then I hear the end of their story. I'm thinking, oh my. And then to witness it firsthand in my lifetime, that it can happen to any of us. But I want to tell you something. I believe it all starts in the scripture we read earlier in Philippians, the 4th chapter, in the 8th verse. You see, the devil, there's little things that he would like to tell us. Let me just give you some examples. First off, let me tell you a story. Let me start with that. And perhaps you all can relate to stories as such. I remember reading some stories. One was about some little pet raccoons. How many of y'all have ever seen little pet raccoons and how cute they look? I've seen pictures of them. And I've held them before, actually. They're real cute little critters. I heard a story of a family that took some little pet raccoons and kind of adopted them into their own little family, took them as pets. And everything went along just fine for a while. But what happened was these little raccoons, they started out, all they knew was humans, basically, human touch and the interaction and the food that they were given, and, you know, they seemed to be pretty well domesticated. But the problem began as these little raccoons got older, and as they grew, they changed. And what happened was they started reverting back to their natural, normal, wild behavior, which was fighting, biting, clawing. You name it. They got sharp little teeth, sharp little claws, and they're very strong and powerful animals. Okay? Just to give an example, there's true stories of raccoons that could kill a very good, strong, powerful dog. But they would end up drowning them in a little stream or in a little in water, and could pull them under and drown them, a little raccoon. But so the story goes that eventually the family had to get rid of the raccoons. But you see, I'm telling that story to give us an idea. We'll read some scriptures about this too in Romans. You see, we're all born with carnal nature and with wanting things our way. And we see something a certain way and we believe something a certain way, and that's how it is. That, say, for example, my opinion is right all the time, you know, and it's my way or the highway. And there's people that live according to that. But remember the scripture I quoted to you earlier, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. And I left off the last part, and peace. You see, what happens is, and this is nothing new to us here this morning, this evening. If anything, I want this to be a caution, because I find it so easily in myself, just being saved and sanctified, think, oh, we're just going to cruise on into heaven. I'm going to tell you something, it doesn't work that way. No. The scripture says, the violent take it by force. We're going to have to fight and claw our way to heaven, because we have an adversary that wants to steal, kill, and destroy us, all right? And he wants to deceive even the very elect, those we have confidence in. For years, they've lived a godly life. But then something starts happening in the background of their minds sometime. The devil starts feeding little thoughts, little half-truths, or little things that... let me read this again. Sorry. In Philippians, whatsoever things are true, things that maybe are 95% accurate and true, but there's that other little 5% question mark, and maybe that's what is focused on more than the other 95%. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Whatsoever things are honest, again, that 95 and 5% ratio, that, well, this is really how it was, except for this little exception over here. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, are lovely, and of good report. Again, of good report, that can be up to your own individual interpretation. You see what I'm saying? That's the problem. We'll rely on our own interpretation. Well, I think that is of good report. So I'm going to pass this on to so-and-so, and then they're going to... You know, and it just keeps, and before long, it becomes something that's not so honest and true. It gets twisted. Just little things that start out so insignificant. But then the devil doesn't stop there. It says, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So here we have the devil then wanting us to think upon maybe things that, this gets close to home here. Things that maybe we're not so good at. You see what I'm saying? Something that's not sin necessarily. But to think upon, well, I'm not really good at this. And I should be, you know, kind of shoulda, coulda, woulda type of thinking. And just dwelling on that alone. But it says here, if there be any praise, is that really glorifying God? Just to think upon those type of things? You understand what I'm saying? Or things of good report. Again, maybe it's someone else's failure. And when you see that person, that's all that comes to your mind. And then you start feeding on that. Like, well, you know, they were pretty dirty about that. That was really unfair. That was really unjust how they treated so-and-so. And the devil gets you to thinking on that and feeding on that. Okay? And so now let's go back to the story of the Jews. You realize, this is just one example here. You remember when Jesus, when he was teaching among the Jews, and he used some pretty harsh words, did he not? Calling some of the Pharisees and Sadducees, calling them hypocrites.
Yes.
He whited sepulchers and rattled off a bunch of things.
Yes.
They were true. There was no falsehood in that. But just suppose there was some of those that were standing there and they felt Jesus' sharp words. And guess what? They're going to go home and you think they're just going to sit there and be quiet and not tell their wives or their children about it? Not for a minute. They're going to go home fired up. Do you know what this so-called master, this Christ, so-called Messiah out there? Do you realize what he just called me? You know, I tried to be a man about it in the crowd. But when I get home, I start telling everybody about it. And start feeding all, pumping all this information. You know, and maybe they use word for word. Maybe they don't change the words. But it's how they interpreted what Jesus said. That's what they feed their children. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so these children are being raised up hearing about this Christ, this Messiah. And that's the only side they hear. Okay? And then before long, of course we know what happened with Jesus. But these children are still growing up. Okay? Then it comes down to Stephen, like we heard about this morning. You see, these children are growing up and they're hearing about all these things and they're believing what they want to believe because they're being fed some untruths, some things that aren't actually honest and true and of good report. You see? And so then they start believing those lies and then they are deceived. And then they go out and they try to, well, of course they stoned Stephen and they didn't stop there. The rest of the disciples were martyred as well, with the exception of John. But as if it just snowballed, just got bigger and bigger and worse and worse. But I want to remind us this evening, isn't that what sin does? What was that scripture I read earlier? For to be carnally minded is death. And what does the scripture also say? The wages of sin is death. That's what it pays. And the Jews, basically, back here in Matthew, during the story of the crucifixion, what did they say to Pilate when they insisted, you turn Barabbas loose, but we want Jesus crucified? What did they say to Pilate? It says, then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us. They didn't stop there. This gets really close to home. It says, his blood be on us and on our children. It's as if they did not care. All right. They were so convinced and deceived into thinking that they were right. They were willing to gamble their children's lives. You understand what's going on here? The devil's saying, I got them now. They're convinced if they're right, their souls are damned and their children's souls will be the same. You see, that the devil doesn't stop at anything. Convince these Jews so far. I mean, and how many times have we seen things like this happen in our lifetime? You understand what I'm saying? Maybe it's literal situations of gambling that people get involved with. And they literally lose their homes, their families over addictions like that. But it doesn't just stop at gambling. I mean, there's so many other vices out there that the devil has more than what was around back here, okay? 2,000 years later, it has greatly multiplied all the things that the devil wants us to think upon and dwell upon and feed our minds and eventually settles in our hearts, then comes out as an action. You guys have heard the saying, garbage in, garbage out. That's what happens. That's what these children of the Jews, during Jesus' days, they were fed spiritual garbage.
Yes.
And that's exactly what came out in the generations to follow. How did Jerusalem get destroyed?
Huh.
From within.
Yes.
The spiritual garbage they still had on hand. That Jesus came to save them from. gave them the golden opportunity, but they were so deceived. And their parents and their grandparents and all the generations before, they were content with that. Why? Because they wanted the fame, the recognition, the high offices, all those things that the Pharisees and Sadducees, all those the things that they wanted. And Jesus came along and threatened their position. You know, that's, we'll tell another little story about wild animals. Sheila's family, years ago, they raised some little bobcats. And their mother had gotten killed and they were left. Anyway, so they're bottle feeding these little bobcats. Again, cute little things. Cute as a button. But things changed with them too. Eventually, they were getting bottle fed, and as they got bigger, they really, you know, had big paws, had to get bigger bottles, and had to really kind of manhandle them. But it became kind of a routine that eventually, these bobcats, if you got, especially when they started eating solid foods, if you got in the way of their food, watch out. I mean, it was like a death growl almost. I mean, they grab them. You just throw it down and you let them eat, all right? It was an instinct. And what it was is they felt threatened. You're going to take my food? You better not. They're going to do something about it. Going back to their natural instincts is what they were doing. 5 minutes before that, they were cuddled in your lap and purring, you know? But you throw food down there, watch out. And then it went beyond that. Two of the bobcats were males. And, of course, they kind of started bickering amongst themselves. There was three of them, female and two males. And it came eventually to where, especially one of the males, when Randall would walk in the room. Now, if it was just the girls and Dolores in there playing with the bobcats, everything was fine. But when Randall walked in the room and spoke, just that deep male voice, and whatever it was about his presence, the male bobcats felt threatened. And boy, they turn around and growl, and it's like, watch out. They were feeling threatened, okay? But that was their natural instincts. That's what was inbred in them. They couldn't help it, okay? So it goes back to the same with our own human nature. You see, these children that are hearing all these stories from their parents and their grandparents, then they start feeling threatened. Well, they're picking on mom and dad, and they're picking on my grandma and grandpa. They better not be doing that, you know. They're feeling threatened, so guess what? I'm going to retaliate. This is common sense here tonight, folks, okay? But it's something that can get really close to home because these things can happen. And ever so slightly that no big deal, you know. Oh, they said that or they did this, and then we kind of pass on just a little bit of it, but we don't tell them the whole story, you see? But deep down, if we revert to our own carnality, what's the scripture say? It's death. And ultimately, that's what happened with the Jews. It's been for the whole history of Israel. They've been picked on ever since Jesus left. They have been picked on.
Yes.
But guess what? They brought it on themselves. They asked for it. And since then, millions of Jews have died unnecessarily because of the deceit of, compared to all those that have died, just a handful of stubborn, stiff-necked, deceived, carnally-minded Jews that passed these things on down to their children. And that's what they learned. Okay? So it behooves us, Lord, help us to think upon the good things. Help us to think upon things that are of good report, the things that are lovely, that have virtue, that help raise a person up. You know, how many times have we had what they call these teachable moments? You know, those of us that have children, that, Lord, help us to seize an opportunity and use it as a teachable moment. Okay, here's an example of how not to say or not to do because such and such will happen. Or here's another situation that's a positive aspect. Here's something positive that happened. Here's what you're supposed to do. All right? And more importantly, above and beyond all that, Lord, help us to live this by example. Do you realize? Just think for a moment here. If some of these Jews, maybe just one of them, that had high position, if they would have went back and told their family a different story, said, you know what? I think I was in the wrong. I think I was treating this Jesus guy unfairly. And really believed it. And convinced his wife and his children of that. And then some of his close friends convinced them of that too. You see what I'm saying? The power of a positive influence. Of not wanting to be deceived. Keeping your heart open before the Lord. How many times have we heard this scripture that Psalmist David said? Search me, O God, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What if some of those Jews, they could have, you realize they had those same scriptures? And if they would have really took those scriptures and applied them, how much differently life could have been for them? Yes. Israel could have been much larger than it is today. Yes. They may not have been picked on like, there may be millions of souls not taken out in eternity unnecessarily. You see what I'm saying? That the effect of the things we choose to believe and act upon, and it goes even closer, the things that we think upon can lead to the death of not just one individual. It could be the death of hundreds, thousands, millions. Who knows? Only God knows. And so it behooves us, Lord, help us to make this prayer before the Lord. If you could, like the story I told about the raccoons and the bobcats, that the Lord could tame. Not just tame that carnality, but dig that carnality and that sin out. And give me a new heart, okay? A heart, take out the stony heart. That means the stubborn, the stiff-necked, set in my ways, and believe in what I want to believe, what's passed down to me. But Lord, help us, you guys know the story too of the, I think it's the Bereans, when they were being ministered to, they went back home, they heard the word, and they went back home and they studied themselves to see if that was really true according to the word of God. You know, sometimes we have to do that too. And maybe it's not because we heard some falsehood preached over the pulpit, but I'm talking about rubbing shoulders with the world out there that's trying to feed us maybe false doctrines or watering down the gospel and cutting off our cross down here that, oh, you don't need to suffer that. You don't need to bear those burdens. You don't need to do this. This is an easier way over here. You see, there's a shortcut over here. Be careful. You might be deceived. If you start feeding on that easy route, you know, oh, well, this is just a little cakewalk. This is no big deal. Serving the Lord, it's wonderful. I get to do all this and that, you know, and I get away with this, and you can claim this and still do this. And be careful. Be careful what you hear, what you believe, okay, and what you think on. I mean, again, I feel like this is like a little preschool lesson here. Like the little children's song. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, all these little things. But what does this boil down to? We're all children of God anyway. And we all need to be teachable, all right? We all have room for improvement. At least I do. And so again, this evening, this is just a word of caution. Lord, help us to live according to Philippians 4 and 8. There's so much at stake. Not just our souls, but our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, yes, our neighbors.
Yes.
Yeah, our neighbor, our fellow employees on the job. Wherever you go, they're at stake. We are to be the gospel in the flesh, lived out, just like Jesus was. We're ambassadors with Christ. He's saying, I can't do it all. Now I'm going to send my Holy Spirit in you all so that you all can go out to all the world and preach the gospel. All right? How are you going to do that? One of the ways is live according to Philippians 4 and 8. Think upon these things. Okay? So, I hope you all understand this evening. I hope you don't feel like I'm trying to preach to preschoolers or first graders. But it's a good reminder. The Lord help us to be careful. Don't believe everything you hear at face value. And by all means, we have so much technology nowadays. There's no excuse that you don't know something. You know, you can go find out and verify 15 or 20 different ways. Okay? But more importantly than that, we have access through the Holy Spirit to the throne of God, where the Holy Spirit can speak to us. Maybe all these other sources we've used to try to figure something out, and we still don't know. We're still confused. What does the scripture say? God is not the author of confusion. No. Say, okay, I need to make a direct line call to heaven. I need to get the record set straight right now. For me personally. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe everyone else believes this and they do that. But Lord, what about me? What do you want me to do in this situation? Do I want to believe this evil report? Do I want to believe this easier way? You see, whatever it is, say, Lord, show me the way and lead me in the way everlasting. And the Lord will be faithful to do his part. Pray for me that I would be faithful to the Lord.